This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome back to the Hockey News Podcast, presented by McKinney Hockey and BetMGM. I'm Mike Stevens. Sitting next to me is Ryan Kennedy. Ryan, how you doing?
Not bad. Ready to go.
Exactly. Now, Ryan, you know, you and I, we've seen each other a lot for the last little bit. We've been roommates, basically.
Yes.
For the last week or so, we're at the World Juniors. What a tournament.
It was. And it's interesting to me, you know, obviously it ended in fantastic circumstance, overtime in a gold medal game. But I really liked the parity in the tournament.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, like Austria was and also ran, but they would have been relegated in the summer had there been relegation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some people were concerned that with no Russia, it wasn't going to be as competitive. But I actually saw the opposite, where because you didn't have that powerhouse on one side of a group, you had teams like Slovakia and Czechia that were able to grab a higher seed and therefore not have to play necessarily a huge power in the quarterfinal. And I think that helped them along the way. And obviously Czechia just had a fantastic team, went all the way to the gold medal, deservedly so. So fun to see a different mix. You know, Czechia had not medaled since 2005.
Yeah.
They had a couple of fourth place finishes in between, but for them to grab that silver and to push Canada the way they did, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, I became sort of like an honorary, like I almost wanted to get dual citizenship for Czechia. Like that team was so easy to root for. It's not just because I wrote like two columns on them when I was there, but just to see the reaction of those players. Because we have to, like, this was another big reminder that these are kids.
Yeah.
Like, these are not like hardened professional athletes who are like, you know, pucks in deep, one game at a time. Like, these are like kids who are, you know, just on over the moon to be representing their country, specifically in the European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to the Czechia kids after they had booked their ticket to the gold medal, I've never seen like hockey players and professional athletes in a reporter media setting being that happy, smiling. Like I can't remember what the name was, but a player, Mark Masters, had like a legitimately like one of the funniest exchanges.
Oh, Gabriel Sturck.
Gabriel Sturck, yeah. Exactly. And Mark Masters had like one of the funniest exchanges I've ever seen between a player and a reporter. Just because he was so happy, he was smiling. It was great. And the town of Halifax, just absolutely fantastic. But yeah, like this was, I think this is, like, first of all, this was my first World Juniors covering it. I don't think I can cover another one. Because this is like, this peaked. Like, this is
right.
It. Like, the next one's gonna be a huge letdown.
Right.
Because this one was fantastic. Like, even the like relegation games were interesting. Like, even that last relegation game between Latvia and Austria, you know, Latvia ended up taking it pretty handily. But like, even that, they made it interesting at the end. The bronze medal game went into OT, and it was like a 7-6 game. It was nuts.
Yeah.
Slovakia pushing Canada OT. You know, like, even, it was just, everything was. It was just incredible hockey. It's like junior hockey personified. It was sloppy, high octane, you know, just great. Loved it. There was some fire there, but like not too much.
Right.
That it would make anyone clutch their pearls,
right.
You know. But it was just, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, just looking at you know, how things turned out, like you say, like that bronze medal game was so up and down.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and you know, I think that, you know, when you get all those teams together, especially after the summer tournament where obviously the crowds did not turn out, the hockey itself was pretty rusty because if you think about that time of year, players are not optimized to be in a high-octane tournament. So this was really kind of a reset for the World Juniors, and I think it hit on all cylinders.
I think it really did, too. There were, like, so we all know, like, the crazy prospects that were there. We all know the ones that have been drafted, the ones to look at, but there were... The thing that stood out to you the most that you were talking about is there were a lot of draft-eligible prospects that really sort of, like, made their mark. And there's the obvious Connor Bedard, obviously. He cemented himself as, like, a legitimately generational talent.
Yeah.
A guy who, like, an entire team should just trade everything that's not battened, you know, everything that's not nailed down, tank as hard as they can to get this guy. He can save an organization, really.
Right.
But there were a lot of, whether they were, you know, whether they went had gone underdrafted before, like, so they're overagers or prospects coming up that really impressed and really came from out of nowhere to really impress. Let's go through some, maybe the top five of the ones that really stood out to us. Why don't you give it a go to start?
Yeah, so, I mean, Connor Bedard's the obvious one, so maybe we can't count him. I thought it was hilarious that he came back home to Regina and
scored four goals.
Yeah. And literally the Pats, you know, they're fighting for the playoff lives. I kind of get the feeling Connor Bedard is just going to be like, I'm just going to take us to the playoffs. It's just going to happen. I'm just going to make it happen because that's what I do.
I mean, okay, sure. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll start off Adam Fantilli, Team Canada, you know, potential number two pick overall at this point. I thought, you know, Fantilli at times was really pressing. And it's tough because, you know, when you have a teammate in Connor Bedard that's doing these spectacular things, I have a feel, you know, I mean, it's only natural that you want to show off your stuff too. But I think the gold medal game was probably Fantilli's best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he got on the scoreboard. Used his speed, he was physical. And the difference between, you know, Fantilli and Bedard or Matvei Michkov is obviously the size. So mm-hmm. Fantilli has a lot of great physical gifts. And I thought he really sort of used them to the best of his ability in that gold medal game. Now, a similar player, Leo Carlsson mm-hmm. from Sweden, he's very interesting to me. And for me, he's the number three pick right now. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make arguments for number two, I will listen.
Really?
Wow. Sure, okay. Sure. But I think it's with Carlsson, I see more projection where, you know, that Sweden team, it wasn't really inspiring for the most part. You know, especially their older forwards didn't do a ton. I thought Filip Bystedt was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a couple of other guys that were pretty decent. But Carlsson, you could see the drive in his game. Mm-hmm. And he's got some good size. And when I saw him out there, I know he's a winger, but I'm like, man, he's got that sort of Andre Kopitar thing where, you know, he doesn't look necessarily like he's going fast, but because he's big, he gets there fast. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't go straight to the NHL, and, you know, he is young, and typically, you know, we've seen with a lot of Swedish prospects, they go back for another year before they make a try at the NHL. I could see him absolutely dominating the next World Juniors, mm-hmm. which happens to be in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Well, there you go.
So on home ice, I could see him just absolutely crushing it based on what we saw. You know, he was very good and had some crucial goals for Sweden along the way. But I think he'll be, you know, like another level. And then, of course, his teammate, Axel Sandin Pelikka, yeah. Great offensive defenseman. I like that he had a little bite to his game. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's not like super physical, but you can tell like he lets guys know that he's there. Doesn't make it easy on them. You know, this draft class, it's not heavy on elite defenders. We're still waiting for a lot of them to emerge. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of media and scouts were at that relegation game, because you had David Reinbacher yep. of Austria, and we all wanted to see what he could do. And he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But with Sandin Pelikka, for me, I think right now he'd be my top defenseman. And is he top 10? I don't know. He's probably, you know, on projection and merit, he's more of a 15 to 20 guy, but he might go top 10 because if somebody wants a defenseman,
he's the best.
Like, he's the best.
And I was going to ask you, like, when do you think the first defenseman goes in?
It's probably going to be in the 10 to 15 range. But again, you know, mm-hmm. if a team has a particular need, they might say, well, he's our guy. We will take him 8th, mm-hmm. 9th, whatever it happens to be. And then the last player I'll mention is Adam Guyon.
I was going to bring him
the
up.
The Slovakian yep. goaltender. And, you know, what's interesting about Guyon, obviously a tremendous run with Slovakia, but he was already trending up. You know, started the year in the NHL with Chippewa. Gets loaned up to the USHL with Green Bay. Plays fantastic in two games there and then heads over. I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be on the Slovakian yeah. team. You know, he came in as the third stringer, became their starter. He's got good size. He was passed over last year, but he was playing over in Slovakia. Mm-hmm. Didn't have great numbers, but you're seeing such growth in him. And he's got that frame that's very projectable. So that's a player where it's like, okay, I mean, is he an early second rounder? Does a team even jump late in the first and say, like, well, we want a goalie, and he can clearly play in pressure situations, so maybe he's our guy.
The fact that he got booted in the quarterfinals, he stood on, like, he had one of the most incredible performances I've seen at a World Juniors from a goalie against yeah. Canada. I believe he stopped, what was it, like 52, 53 shots? I think it was 52 shots he stopped, and like Slovakia had no business being in that, you know, pushing that Canada team to OT. And Adam Guyon was the guy. And then yeah. for him to get booted in the quarterfinals and still be named goalie of the tournament, that is, you know, that's you don't see that happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't usually happen. That's like, you know, that's like someone who got booted in the conference finals winning the Conn Smythe. You know,
right,
that
right.
doesn't happen. He was good enough to allow that to happen. He was the talk of the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, like he was, like in terms of guys who came out of nowhere, like he was the person who people, when you and I were talking to people, his name was brought up the most outside of like the Bedards and the normal guys. What a tournament. Crazy stuff. It was great. What could have, like, speaking of Slovakia, what could have helped them is adding their best player. You know, their best international, like, junior player to the roster in Juraj Slafkovský, who is in Montreal right now. I would love to have a because we had conversations about him at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Now we're roughly halfway through. I would like to have another Juraj Slafkovský conversation.
Right.
I think it's important that we sit down, we talk this out.
Right.
Because he's not doing great. The NHL is not the place, in my opinion, for Juraj Slafkovský to be right now. Should, first of all, before we dive into, you know, like his performance this season, let's just ask, should he have gone to the World Juniors? Do you think that's that was the best move for him?
I'm going to say no in this case. And here's my logic. Here's a player that already went to the Olympics and was the MVP. Now, granted, wasn't the greatest competition, but they were men that he was playing against. So, and Slovakia was not in danger of getting relegated. Like, years ago, the Oilers did not send Leon Draisaitl to the World Juniors, and Germany got relegated. To me, that was a mistake, because they ended up sending him back to junior, and he went to Kelowna and went on a Memorial Cup run. They ended up losing in the final to Oshawa. To me, that was the wrong choice, because Draisaitl could have been a difference maker there. For Slovakia, obviously they were a very good team this year, and as we mentioned, you know, really pushed Canada in that quarterfinal. So it would have been nice for Slovakia, sure. I know some people would say, like, oh, they would have beat Canada with Slafkovský, but I would say if Slafkovský had played the whole tournament, they might not have played Canada in that quarterfinal. It might have affected the standings, and then you have totally different scenarios. So I'm fine with that, because he doesn't have anything to prove at that level. For me, I would say, you know, if they send him to Laval for a little bit, I think that's probably the path, because the effort's there, and he's not getting results, he's not getting points, but he's, you know, he's playing well in terms of his effort.
Yeah.
So if you want to get his confidence in terms of scoring, send him to Laval.
I think that's a good, I think, you know, obviously, I think that's just like destined to happen.
Yeah.
This can't keep going.
And there have been rumblings of that.
Yes. But, like, first of all, I think, you know, you say he doesn't have anything left to prove at that level. I would agree. But I also think that with a young player like this, confidence is so important.
Sure.
Like that's basically, like, look at what happened. Look at the rebirth of Shane Wright, right? Like, this guy, confidence was down the tube. He had a tough sort of, like, last 6 months when you think, in context of a player of his caliber, where, you know, he falls very publicly to fourth. And then is, you know, sort of makes the team in quotes in Seattle, and then just never plays, and, you know, is playing 6 minutes and getting, you know, like, people are throwing around bust already, and it's ridiculous. And then, but then, you know, you send him to the World Juniors. He has a phenomenal tournament. Scores in the gold medal game. He's the captain.
Yep.
You know, he shows his medal, and then now they're sending him back to junior. He just got traded for a boatload of stuff.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get to that.
Yep.
Now he can go on a run, and that'll where he just absolutely dominates the CHL. And he becomes like and I think that really helps him. Juraj Slafkovský, like, if you look at his past, he's pointless in his last 12. He's got like 4 points in his last like 20 games. He's got 4 goals and 6 assists on the season. And if you look at even, I know plus minus is not the be all end all, obviously, but like specifically in the last 7 games, -1, -1, -1, -1, -1, -2, -1, pointless in all of those, playing under, you know, like, and it's not like he's getting like terrible ice time. He's playing, he's getting around like between 14 and 12 minutes there. It's just not working for him. Like, what he clearly has an NHL-ready frame. His shot is fantastic. There's no shame in sending a prospect back to, you know, if you can, to the AHL, keeping him close, keeping him within like a driving distance of where you are. That doesn't mean that he's being banished from the team. When you're in Laval, like, you're remarkably close to the Montreal Canadiens, to their facility. You know, you still feel like you're part of that identity. I remember reading a great story on Carl Alzner when he got sent down to Laval, you know, at the tail end of his career, and he was like, yeah, you know, as much as it sucks, like, you are still part of that sort of picture, like, because everything is so close because of all that. And I think that's the best move. Like, I think it would have been great to send Slefkovský to World Juniors, to let him sort of be the big fish again.
Yeah.
Because right now he's not the big fish. He's, he, you know, like, when you're a player of his caliber, you're used to being the best player on every team you've played in since you could walk, basically. And right now he is absolutely not that at Montreal. Mm. He sent him to Slovakia, goes over there. He is the big fish of the tournament. Him and Connor Bedard are fighting it out and all that. And then if he potentially leads Slovakia on a surprising run, think about the confidence there. And then and then if he goes back to NHL grade, if he goes back to the AHL grade, I think it would have been great. I don't care if he doesn't have anything left to prove anymore. I think for his own sort of like sense of worth as a hockey player, I think it would have been great. We'll have to see, because there has to be something happening with him. Like, there has to be movement.
And that's why I think Laval is the answer, because, you know, you got a guy that's like 6'4", almost 240 pounds. If he's playing against teenagers, he's obviously going to be one of the biggest guys on the ice, and he can basically do whatever he wants.
Yes.
You go to Laval, you're playing against men, you know, men that are, you know, like... it's serious down there if you're the AHL. Like, you're
it's
pushing
physical.
Through a career. It's physical, and guys are trying very hard because they want to get up.
Guys are fighting for their lives.
They're fighting, yeah exactly. Like, this is their job. Mm-hmm. They have kids.
They have mortgages.
They got mortgages, you know, stuff exactly. Like that, yeah. So it's like, if you play against those guys in Laval, I think it's a better test in the sense of your goal is to play in the NHL against men. You're doing it right now, but if, like, you want to get your confidence, then you have to learn how to score against men. And I get what you're saying. You know, get your confidence by scoring kind of easy ones against your age group. But for me, I think Laval is just kind of the easy answer.
I think it would have just been a good reminder for him to be like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I got it. You know? I got that dog in me. Like, I think it would have been a nicer, like, even if it was just for him, like, because after the tournament, you can send him to Laval and he can, you know, hopefully... tear up that league for the rest of the year. But I think sending him to the World Juniors, it would have just been a great reminder where he's like, yeah, I got it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right now, there's no space for him to learn that. There's no sort of leeway. There's nothing. Like, he is, and if you look at his numbers, like, I'm looking at them right now, he's taken a decent chunk of penalties. He's already got 31 penalty minutes on the year. He's a bigger guy. And he's only averaging one shot per game around that. Like, you know, it's not even like he's snake bitten.
Right.
It's not like he's getting it. You know, it's not like he's getting the chances and the opportunity. And I'm sure he's trying hard. He's not challenging. Like, he's not,
just on a bad team.
Exactly. But he's not making a difference. Like, he's not showing progression. I thought it would be great. Send him to the World Juniors. Let him remind himself, like, yeah, I'm the number one pick. Like, there's a reason why I got here. I got it. Mm. And then you send him to Laval after that. You're still in the Canadiens bubble, you know? But you can also go in there and be like, oh, yeah, like, I'm playing professional hockey. I'm, like, a point-per-game player. I can score goals here. Great. Yeah. But then again, that's just one man's humble opinion.
Fair.
Speaking of good players, though, the All-Star rosters, they dropped in the first intermission of the Canada Gold Medal game. As a guy who covers the news hits on the hockey news, that was lovely for me. Thank you. Thank you, NHL. I didn't want to watch the gold medal game. No, I appreciate that. So let's take a look at the All-Star rosters. I mean, obviously, there were some... You know, like, Mitch Marner's getting his first nod. You know, we got Brock Nelson, Kevin Hayes, it meant a lot to him. Linus Allmark, who's been the best goalie in the NHL this year.
Yep.
Getting in crazy stuff like that. Let's talk about some of the snubs, potentially, and what could possibly, and who could be added, I guess, to the, because I think there's 12 remaining spots.
Yeah.
Some are voted by Twitter, which is going to be hilarious.
Sure.
I would also like
to. And there are guardrails. They have put some significant guardrails, which is important.
I know. I was gonna bring up the topic until I saw that. I was gonna bring up the topic of, like, okay, who do we do this? Like, who do we make?
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm like, Justin Hall's going to the All-Star game, baby. Let's do this. But so who do you think could be added? Like, let's do our next ads here.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some pretty obvious names, and for me, it's like the All-Star game. It's nice for guys to get rewarded for good seasons.
But this is the star.
Exactly. Game. There's certain players that I think should just always be there.
Yes.
Right? Like, Patrick Kane should always be there because he's the kind of guy with his hands and his creativity, you know, for both the skills competition and the games themselves. He's just fun to watch.
Yes.
So, even though it might be weird to have two Chicago Blackhawks on the team because Seth Jones got the initial nod, it's like, I just want Patrick Kane there.
Why did Seth Jones get the initial nod? Like, Patrick Kane's right there. Jonathan Toews is having a resurgent year.
He is, but Jonathan Toews isn't, like, a fun player. He's just, like,
is Seth Jones a fun player?
He's a defenseman, right? You got to have some defensemen there.
I guess.
You know, obviously, Austin Matthews and David Pastrnak are two guys that have to be there. Again, for their goal-scoring prowess alone and just for the star, you know, caliber that they are, you want them there.
Trevor Zegras.
Trevor Zegras is another one. I would also say, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury. I know he's away from the team right now dealing with a personal matter, but hopefully, you know, he returns sooner than later. But he's the kind of guy that I feel gets it when it comes to an All-Star game. So I would love to see Fleury there as the other goaltender for his division because I feel like he has the spirit of the All-Star weekend. And he would do some fun stuff, again, either in the skills competition or in the games themselves, where, you know, he would do something that the crowd would love. So.
And there'd be great sort of like behind-the-scenes moments of him and his kids. Like, you know that. Like, Alan Walsh would lose his mind on Twitter over it and be like, you know, whoa, what a great guy. I've represented him since he was, he could learn to walk. And good for you, Alan. I'm glad that you that you ride or die.
Oh, and Jonathan Huberto should be there.
Really? You think so?
Totally. Come back to Florida?
Come back to Florida, but, like, he's got to earn it, man.
I suppose so, but that's where I kind of differ, where it's like, there's certain guys where it's like, just make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, that would be nice, but, like, I think it would have been a great story if Jonathan Huberto was thriving in Calgary, and then the Panthers were also thriving.
Right.
And they could come back and just sort of look at, like, you ever seen La La Land?
No.
Movie? Okay. Well, at the end of the movie, I know this is very...
How dare you?
I know this is very... but, like, at the end of the movie, you know, like, spoiler alert for La La Land. It's been out for enough. Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, they don't end up together.
Okay.
But, you know, she goes with her new husband to a jazz show, and Ryan Gosling's playing. At the end, right at the end of the movie, the last shot is them kind of sharing a look and kind of acknowledging, like, look, we didn't end up together, but we're both happy that, you know, we found success in our future endeavors, even if we weren't together. And I think it would have been great if Huberto was thriving and Florida was thriving as they wanted to. And, and they come back to Florida and they sort of share that La La Land look where it's like, look, we didn't end up together, but it was for the best. And we're happy. But both teams are playing terrible right now. And so I don't think there's any good omens or good vibes around there. Right. So,
but maybe this could be that good vibe.
Exactly. You know what? Maybe it could. You're totally right. Yeah, I think, look, I think that there are, I think, like, as much as, like, Brock Nelson deserves a shot and, like, you know, and Kevin Hayes deserves a shot, like this is the All-Star game. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but fans aren't paying to watch, like, Kevin Hayes and Brock Nelson in a skills competition. Like, that's just not what their thing is.
But Brock Nelson can shoot it.
Exactly. They can be add-ons, I
think.
Accuracy. It would have been great to bring Matt Barzal in there. It would have been great to bring, you know, like I think Ilya Sorokin absolutely should be in the mix there. Like, he's been fantastic.
Yep.
And then for Vegas, I know he's hurt, but I think it would be great to have Jack Eichel there.
Yeah, that was another one I was thinking. Like, Jack Eichel, it feels like he could have a fun All-Star game.
Like, and I say this because Jack Eichel, when he was drafted, I believe that was in Florida?
That sounds right.
Yes, because they were doing outdoor activities. You were told this story.
Yeah.
And they were, like, getting, you know, sort of like the fanboat tour of the Everglades and whatnot. And Jack Eichel is deathly afraid of reptiles, deathly afraid of alligators. Guess what the NHL is going to do for a skills competition event this year? Shooting frozen hamburgers at alligators, which I'm sure will not piss off PETA at all.
It'd
be great. Imagine having a Jack Eichel reaction cam when the alligators show up. Great for content. I think that would be great. So bring in Jack Eichel. Let's have some fun. speaking of teams that are having fun, Carolina Hurricanes, they're doing great.
Indeed.
And they're now adding... look, we always say that the best GMs are the ones that throw you anvils instead of life preservers when another GM is sinking.
Right.
That's exactly what Carolina did to Vegas.
Yeah.
They were in a cap just absolutely... a conundrum, if you will.
Right.
A pickle. And so they ended up getting Max Pacioretty. He's 37 and he was coming off Achilles surgery, so it's not like he's, you know, in pristine condition.
Yes.
This is still a guy who's like money in the bank for like 25, 30 goals a year, maybe more, depending on who's surrounding him. They got him for free.
Yep.
And now finally after his Achilles surgery, I think he's ahead of schedule on that now, coming back.
Well, he's played a couple of games.
Yeah, so he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
They're adding Max Pacioretty to that roster. I mean, like, what, like does this make Carolina pop, like, now, like, a legit favorite?
Well, it's funny because coming into the season, they were one of my favorites to win the Stanley Cup. Now, of course, we have to look at Boston as this unstoppable killing machine, but they wouldn't meet until later on anyways. The thing that's interesting to me is, you know, we became friends with Jay Fresh from Twitter at the World Juniors. He was sitting next to me for most of the tournament. And he had a very interesting chart on Twitter the other day about, you know, goals expected in terms of finishing. Carolina is dead last in the NHL in terms of, like, the goals they should have, that they're expected to have versus what they actually do. Now, you had Max Pacioretty, a guy who has made his career on goal scoring. All of a sudden, that average should come up significantly. I mean, that's what he's paid to do. And this is a team that's already first in their division. So it's like they have all the other elements, and they are still playing very well.
Yes.
They're pretty hot right now. And then you add a guy that knows how to finish. To me, it's like, this is like that, you know, like, trade. It's like the free trade deadline acquisition, you know?
The internal rental?
The internal rental, yeah. Exactly. It's sort of like Washington getting Backstrom and Tom Wilson back this week. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like the wagon just gets faster now in Carolina because Pacioretty can fill that need for them, and obviously they were taking care of everything else on the ice because they're getting a bunch of wins. So I'm very fascinated to see, you know, once he gets up to full speed, and I know he's already scored for them, but what does this team look like? And to me, it's like the timing is fantastic.
It's funny because you're talking about like all they are lacking in finishing. Like they're a very skilled team, but they lack finishers, and Max Pacioretty could help them. You know, yeah. He's played 2 games.
Yeah,
he's scored 2 goals.
Goal per game.
He has yet to not score.
Perfect.
So I think that's pretty. And it's not even like he's only taken a couple shots. Like he's taken 8 shots. Like he's making a difference. So yeah. This is gonna like he's adding a lot. Like if you look at his goal totals, like. You know, like 33, 39, 37, 30, 35, 17 and 64 games he was injured. But then like 22, 32, 24, like this 19 and 39 last year, like this is a goal scorer through and through.
Yeah.
And you add a player, and I think that like Carolina has not had that. They have a lot of guys who are really good at setting up, really good at driving play, you know, but like you said, they don't have finishers. They don't have these like, these mercenaries, these snipers that go around and can just basically just bang one home when you really need it, you know?
Yeah.
He is that guy. He's a big player. He's, you know, he's hungry for a cup, you know?
And that's right. It's good motivation.
This is a great, I think this is such a fantastic landing spot for him. Like just, even just from a system perspective, like he has a great coach. I have to imagine he was not happy about getting traded from Vegas, like because once again, that's another important player getting traded.
Yeah.
The cornerstone. He can really find a home here. He's doing great. I can't wait to see what Carolina does with Max Pacioretty in the fold. It'll be great. All right. Silly season is upon us, Ryan.
Yes.
It is the major junior trade deadline. You know. And man, I just love this time of year. Like, it is the funniest, like, just to see the trades that come through. And there's always the joke of, you know, like, I made one last night where it's a clip from Beyond Scared Straight where a kid's sleeping and then, like, a bunch of guards rush into his cell and rush him out, and he's like scared and freaking. I'm like, some 9-year-old is gonna getting pulled out of recess tomorrow to be told he's gotten traded for sure.
Right.
But that's legitimately happening here because, like, we've had some blockbusters. A lot of players who played great for either Canada or other countries coming back and who are now getting traded to contenders to really go on runs. It seems like more major junior teams are buying than ever this trade deadline. Like, people are really going for it.
And it's interesting, too, because there's teams that are high in the standings, like Saginaw, for example, that were like, we're out. So, like, Saginaw traded Pavel Minchikov, who's been one of the best players in the OHL this year, for a huge package to the Ottawa 67s. Shane Wright goes to Windsor. And it's interesting because, you know, early on when Wright got reassigned to OHL Kingston, there was rumblings about different teams. It's like, could it be... You know,
67s were the one on top of your tongue.
67s were one of them. Barry was another one, and Brant Clark, who was his teammate with Don Mills at the U16 level. You know, Brant Clark got reassigned to Barry, so it's like, okay, that makes sense. And then I think Peterborough was an option because Brennan Othman, another one of his friends with Don Mills, had been traded earlier this year to Peterborough.
And so London Knights were also in the mix there.
London Knights were a name that were out there, but Windsor. They got it done, and an interesting team. You know, Windsor had traded earlier this year for Brett Harrison, the Boston Bruins pick. They have Matthew Maggio, an Islanders pick, a bit older. You know, I think the thing with the Spitfires, they have a lot of veterans at the top of their lineup, in top of their scoring. So, you know, this is a team that, you know, they have the talent, but they also have the experience. So Wright goes in there. You know, Sarnia's been making big moves pretty much all year. You know, they got Sasha Pastajoff, the Anaheim pick. They already had Ty Voigt, who's the leading scorer in the league, the Toronto Maple Leafs pick. But then they went out and got Ethan Delmastro and Luca Dalbalbalouz from Mississauga. So, you know, Sarnia's in the mix. Just very interesting. And then, you know, talking about, you know, the WHL, Olin Zellweger, the Anaheim pick, star on Team Canada, got traded for a boatload from
Everett. I was going to
read
out the entire package.
Yeah,
do you want
give
me
us
to?
The rundown.
Okay, this is
what Kamloops gave
us. Legitimately hilarious.
Yes.
Like, this is, so, we have, yeah, so Olin Zellweger, arguably the best defenseman in junior hockey. Like, he was the best defenseman for Canada.
Yeah.
He was, like, we were talking about this a lot at the tournament. He was basically the reason why USA crumbled the way they did, because USA just didn't have the size, they didn't have the ability to combat a guy like Zellweger who can move and is big enough. And
well, no, he's not big. Del Mastro's big.
Sorry, yeah, but Zellweger was like, he was able to move, he was able to, like,
yeah, he's more of the Cale Makar style.
Exactly. Like, him and Del Mastro, they were great together.
Yeah.
So, Kamloops, who was hosting the tournament, hosting the Memorial Cup, so they're really going for it.
Yeah.
They acquired Olin Zellweger and Ryan Hoffer. Is Ryan Hoffer good? Like, I don't know anything.
He's like a veteran player.
He's fine. Okay, great. Yeah. Going to the Everett Silvertips, though. Forward Drew Englad, defenseman Caden Hamill, defenseman Rylan Pierce, and forward Jack Baker. And I believe all of those are either top 15 or top 20 OHL picks in the past. WHL picks in the past. Then the picks. 2023 first round pick, 2023 second round pick, 2023 fourth round pick, 2024 first round pick, 2024 fifth round pick, 2025 first round pick, 2025 third round pick, 2026 first round pick, 2026 second round pick, conditional, and then 2026 sixth round pick. I'm sure that last one really was the thing that sealed the deal, got it done.
Yeah.
This is my favorite thing about Major Junior, like the cyclical nature. Teams just gut every single possible draft asset they can to load up more than they ever have, and then they're gonna be bad for a couple of years. And then they're going to use all those assets to be good again, and the cycle repeats. It's great. Man.
And it's funny, too, because there doesn't seem to be really any consequences because everybody does the cycle eventually where it's like, yeah, we traded 7 picks, but then 2 years from now, we're going to gain 8 picks.
Yeah.
So very interesting. I will say the one player that got traded that I'm fascinated by is Porter Martone, who went from Sarnia to Mississauga in one of those big trades. I thought he was fantastic at the World Under-17s. He's the type of player, and they also got Jack Van Volsen, who's a very good U-17 player. Those are two guys that I could see Mississauga getting a net benefit for. As good as Del Belbelouz and Del Mastro are, you know, Martone and Van Volsen, they might get drafted even higher into the NHL than the two guys they replaced. So that one's an interesting one to watch. And also, Brad Lambert, you know, rights traded to Seattle, Zach Ostapchuk, who is a good bottom sixer for Canada. He goes to the Winnipeg Ice from Vancouver Giants.
Chaz Lucius went back down. He didn't go.
That was very interesting because he's never been to Major Junior. He was at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, I was expecting him to go back to the AHL because that's where he was to start the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's back. It's great. I think it's nuts. Like, I think also, first of all, we have to keep in mind that these are kids and they're getting their lives kind of uprooted randomly. Like, you know, it's basically like, you know, your parents are moving away and you're you know, like right before prom kind of, you know, in a sense it's a bummer. But this is tremendous content. And this Memorial Cup, appointment viewing now.
Certainly. And I mean, the playoffs too, like the stakes are so high.
Exactly.
Because of all the moves. I mean, you got to remember, like with the exception of Kamloops, who are guaranteed a spot, you only get one team per league that can get to that Memorial Cup. And there are clearly more than that think they should be there.
Now, the question on everyone's mind, though, Ryan.
Yes.
Should the Regina Pats have traded Connor Bedard?
I don't think so. Because just having him, like, you know he's going to the NHL next year.
Mm-hmm.
Bar none. Having him be a Pat for life, I think, is significant. There's a very good chance he just drags them to the playoffs almost by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got a couple of other guys there, but they're not a super strong team. I just think that, you know, why would you want to help out another team like that? And I would also say from Bedard's perspective, the draft year is long, right? It might behoove him not to have a huge playoff run. Like, maybe him and Stanislav Slavozil and Tanner Howe, maybe they win a round for Regina if they get in. But you've got the combine, you've got the draft itself.
You got
a
development camp.
Yeah, you got rookie development camp. You're going to have main camp. it might be okay for him to have a few weeks off where it's like, just chill, be a teenager. Your life is about to change significantly. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
No, you're totally right. It's funny because I asked Rachel Dory this question on Staff and Draft yesterday. She had the complete opposite opinion. Because, like, and her thing is, I think that the Regina Pats really want, when he gets picked first overall, for whichever GM it is, to say, from the Regina Pats, Connor Brown. I think that's important. That'll be etched in history forever.
It's true.
Important to the brand. I don't know where I stand on this, you know?
Hey, you don't have to stand
it. You know what? You're right. It's a good lesson for everyone out there in online discourse. You don't have to have a crazy opinion.
Exactly.
And I think I'm going to sit this one out. So, with that, we transition into rapid fire. We don't have any mailbag today, right. So we're going to transition to rapid fire. Ryan's got the floor today. I'm ready. My body is ready. Let's go.
Nice. Okay, so this will be kind of a Halifax-centric one.
Fantastic.
Since we were there. Starting off, what was your favorite meal in Halifax?
Oh, Pizza Corner. You know what? We didn't really have a ton of like gourmet stuff when we were out there, right? Like we had one sit-down dinner.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was either arena food or it was sort of like just finding what we could. But I ate more pizza. Like I'm not gonna have pizza for the next like 3 months.
Right.
Because
by the time
exactly. By the time we were done.
Yeah.
I will say that Mexican place is very good.
Yes.
With the Ryan and enchilada, or not an enchilada, a chimichanga. I had a burrito. It was very good.
Yeah.
But like by the time we were done with covering games, it would be like 11:30 midnight.
Yeah.
Nothing else was really open except for what they call Pizza Corner, which is a corner that has like four or five different pizza places, and specifically one called, like, I'm not sure if it's called the Big Slice, but it's known for having the Big Slice.
Yeah.
Which is gigantic pizza slices.
It was.
And goodness gracious, they were good.
It certainly was.
And I had a giant pizza slice at like midnight for four straight nights.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have pizza for like the next year because of that. But oh my goodness, it was great. And it's funny because the last night, after Canada won the gold medal, that place was packed to the brim because everyone was like celebrating. So I went to a different pizza place that didn't have as much of a line. It was like eating cafeteria food compared to that place. So that was good. What about you? What was your favorite meal?
I'm going to go with the Great Wall Restaurant, which is the Chinese place that I got food from.
Yeah.
Between games on the final night, I had, you know, actually Jay Fresh had suggested
it because
he had gone there with his parents a bunch of times. It was the perfect, like, what I would call Chinese Canadian food, you know, chicken balls, fried rice.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I needed. A lot of food.
Yes.
At a good price. It certainly delivered, so I was very appreciative of that.
I was really jealous that I didn't partake in that as well.
Yeah. Because
I walked by because they had me all the way at the other end. Like, they didn't sit you and I together.
Right.
And I remember walking past you when you were eating this. I'm like, oh, that looks really good.
Yeah. It was solid. Okay, so next question. Also food related.
Hit me.
While we were there, I went to Underground Snacks, which is a very fun store.
Yes.
Fun store. I bought some Dr. Pepper cotton candy.
You sure did.
We both tried it. Mm-hmm. Out of 10, how would you rate... I know, Connor looks horrified. out of 10, how would you rate the Dr. Pepper cotton candy?
Okay, I will say, before I give an actual rating, I will say, like, it tasted good.
Uh-huh.
It didn't taste like Dr. Pepper.
It tasted like Cherry Coke.
Exactly. We came to that conclusion. Like, it tasted like Cherry Coke, and I feel like if they had labeled it Cherry Coke cotton candy, I would be like, oh, that's like a 7-8. Like, it delivered on what it needed to be.
Yeah.
Like, cotton candy, you're not, like, cotton candy is cotton candy. You know what it's going to be. Mm. But, like, the flavor-wise, like, it, but I was expecting a Dr. Pepper, you know? And yes, there's cherry in the Dr. Pepper flavor. There's, like, 23 flavors in there.
Yeah.
So, like,
but it is different.
It was definitely different, and it was definitely cherry forward, which I am not going to argue with. I love cherry. Like, it's great.
Yep.
But it just wasn't as advertised, so I'm going to have to give it, like, 5.5.
Fair. Yeah, I'm going to say 6, because it certainly was flavorful.
Yes.
But it wasn't Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
You said that very, like, presidential, like Obama. You're like, flavorful?
Sorry. It's good.
Yep. It's good.
But I also enjoyed that... A product that had more numbers in its ingredients than did letters was made by a company called Taste of Nature.
Yep.
Yeah, I enjoy that a lot.
Irony is always fun.
Yeah. Okay. Last Halifax related question.
Okay.
What is your stance on live music at restaurants and bars?
Oh, I know Ryan's stance on this.
Yes.
He was very vocal and very...
Yes.
Listen. It depends on the context.
Yes.
I think that...
You walk into a place. That's the context.
Okay, so you walk into a place. Was I expecting there to be music there?
No.
Okay. that I'm not necessarily a huge fan of it. Mm. And a big reason why is, so there, I used to live in Kensington Market when I was going to U of T. And, you know, whenever I had a free night, I would go to, there's this great sort of like sports bar called Toby's. It's right around the corner, right on College Street. And I would always go there and just sort of like nurse a drink, watch a game, you know, like whatever. And I would watch Monday Night Football there all the time, you know, because better than just watching it alone and, you know, and all that. And so, and what really annoyed me about Toby's and what almost like dissuaded me to not go there again is because it would be like, by the time the fourth quarter rolled around in Monday Night Football, like 10:30, they would start karaoke right behind me. So I'd be trying to focus on, you know, an Aaron Rodgers game-winning drive or something. You know, my fantasy team's hanging in the balance, and some dude's trying to belt out, like, you know, Adele behind me,
right,
just terribly. And I hated that. I think that you have to be very explicit with your advertising for,
yes,
live music. I think if you have live music, and this is not like, you know, you go to a fancy restaurant, there's a piano player in the background sort of adding ambiance.
Right, right.
Like, live music is like, it takes over. Like,
yes,
it is, like, that is the attraction. And it's a big reason why, like, we went out one night, very briefly, and, like, I was going to go meet up with Scott Wheeler of The Athletic and Josh Cleberton of AP.
Yeah.
Or CP.
CP,
yes. And but they were at the lower deck, which is basically like a concert hall.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? I'm not in the mood to have to be in like a mosh pit right now.
Yeah.
I just don't want it. So I'm more on your stance of like, I I'm not gonna openly boo them.
Right.
I'm not, and I you know, like, I think it's great when artists are trying to further themselves and play to an audience and all that. It's great.
Yeah.
But unless before I walk in there, it says like live music tonight or whatever, and I can prepare myself for it.
Right.
Not a huge fan.
Yes, I'm too polite to openly boo somebody, but unless I explicitly pay,
mm-hmm,
to see live music,
yeah,
I don't want to hear any of it.
That
is my stance. I am very adamant about that.
And you were pretty close to booing.
I was pretty close, especially when the guy started playing Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Nobody needs that. Final question.
Okay.
Going back to All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this question before, but I want to make it more Floridian.
Okay.
You can come up with a skill competition for this year's All-Star Game. You mentioned the alligators. What do you want to see players do at the All-Star Game? A new skills competition.
Okay. So, Florida is known for many things, you know? Like, it's known for its fresh oranges.
True.
It's sunlight, you know? It's beaches. Mm. It's also known for Florida Man headlines.
It is.
I think within a certain realm of the law,
uh-huh,
I think you go out and you say, players, generate the craziest Florida Man headline you can.
Interesting.
Whether that means a player, like, you know, rides a tractor, you know, like, you know, down a main street, or, and I think, like I said, within the parameters of the law,
gotcha,
you cannot hurt anyone, you cannot,
right,
break the law, you cannot do anything untoward.
Wow.
But I think you go out, you take like five of your funniest players, you can go out and generate the craziest Florida Man headline you can.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, mine. I want players out on like paddle boards.
Yeah.
Shooting pucks at targets with the obvious hope that at least one of them falls off the paddle board.
They're all gonna fall off. It's a paddle board.
Yeah.
You're not, like, I'm surprised they'll be able to get a shot off on the paddle board.
Well, that's the skill involved. If you can get off a good shot and hit a target while you're standing on a paddleboard in shallow water, that'd be very impressive to me.
So I mean, sure. I think I like mine better.
Yours is pretty fantastic.
Because I'm thinking, like, Florida, like, there's, like, it's known for many things, and the number one thing is, like the Florida Man headlines.
There
I think,
you go.
Like I said, within the parameters of the law.
Which kind of goes contrary to Florida Man.
No, but
because it's based on Freedom of Information Act.
Yes, no, but it's also like
but
you,
again,
know, you can see Florida Man where, like, you're just doing crazy stuff, like Florida.
Sure.
You know, like, local Florida man has, like, 15 iguanas living,
right,
in his house or something. Like,
yeah,
like, just do something wild. Like I said, like, drive a tractor down, like, a main street. Or,
right,
or you know, like, this is the thing. They don't have to come up with it. And, like,
yeah,
within the parameters of the law. But I think that would be very funny.
Boom. All right. Well, very nice. That is the end of Rapid Fire.
Fantastic. Which means it's the end of the show. So we will be back next week with a more, I guess, NHL-centric show, because this was mainly juniors, because the World Juniors just happened, and, you know, we had a lot of fun doing it. So, yeah, see you next week, and enjoy yourself.